Welcome to E-Commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. The Africa Free Trade Agreement may not sound like the normal topic that you would hear on my podcast, but if you're selling online, then this is something that you really want to pay attention to, as it creates two massive opportunities for us online sellers. Opportunities which are going to become game changers in the coming years. In order to fully unpack this topic, I invited my fellow board member from the E-Commerce Forum of South Africa, Mr. Alistair Tempest, for him to do a live video inside of our community group. That video discussion was too good to let it vanish into the endless scrolling depths of Facebook. And so we've pulled the audio out of that video, and we're going to share it here with you in my podcast. I'm excited to share more with you about the Africa Free Trade Agreement and these opportunities that it presents for you. So let's go ahead and play that audio right now. Morning, morning, morning. Welcome to another free training session every Thursday, 10 o'clock, live in the community on my page and here to answer your questions about the challenges that you guys have with e-commerce, with selling online, how to get started, how to grow your business, how to get more traffic, all of that good stuff. But the topic that I've been getting a lot of questions on lately is something that's, new, but it's not so new. It's something that's been in the pipeline for a while, the Africa Free Trade Agreement. Now, that is coming to effect from the 1st of Jan, and it actually presents quite a big opportunity for you guys as online sellers, which is really cool, really fun, and we need to know more about that. So what I've done is I've asked one of my good friends, Alistair Tempest, who is the CEO and one of the founders of the E-Commerce Forum of South Africa, to come over here and join me in this live video, where I am just going to be asking him a lot of questions, some of the questions that you guys have asked me over the last couple of days. And let's chat, Alistair, about the Africa Free Trade Agreement and what that means. Effectively, let's kick off by starting here, Alistair. Welcome to the video. Welcome to this live session. And thanks again for sharing your insights with us. I read a great blog article on your website earlier this morning, and thanks for jumping on here at short notice to tell us about the Africa Free Trade Agreement. So why don't you just give us like a top level overview about the agreement and what it kind of represents?
Okay, good morning, Warwick, and compliments to the season to you and everyone else who's listening. The African Free Trade Area, it actually has its roots a long, long time ago in the days when countries in Africa were throwing off colonialism. People like Kenyatta were very keen to do an African free trade area amongst the different countries. It never came to anything, but over time it started to really get traction. And I think one of the biggest things about it is that politicians realize we've got so many thousands of people coming on into the employment lists every year, not even thousands, even millions of people in Africa. We will be, I think it's in 2035 or something, there will be more young Africans entering into the employment sphere than in any other, in all the rest of the world put together. So what do you do with these guys? I mean, you've got to give them employment. You've got to make sure that they are happy. Otherwise, you're going to have a really difficult regional problem and disruption and civil war and all these sorts of things that happen when you have a lot of young people without jobs.
Okay. And, so, and I suppose employment growth is a benefit of the free trade area, but what exactly is the agreement and what does it represent?
So Let me just finish. So the idea, therefore, is to try to stimulate manufacturing and industry. If you do that, then you face, of course, the Asian tigers, etc., etc., people who really have very cheap labor and are pumping out goods left, right, and center. So how do you get around that? Well, you create your own little cocoon, as it were, almost, of the African continent. And then you try and encourage greater trade between the different countries. So that's basically it. It's a simple idea.
Great, and I love that. So that how, is the big picture. So as I kind of see where you're going, like how do you do that?
Yeah. So how do you do that? You do that by stimulating trade between the 55 countries of Africa.
All right.
54 of them have already signed up to this idea, and 34 of them have actually ratified, including South Africa. Including all the big economies like Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Ghana, et cetera. So Egypt. So they're already signed up and ratified. So that means that the whole thing can start going.
All right, and I guess that the key benefits of this agreement of this this change is the removal of customs tariffs from one country to the next. Can you talk a little bit about what that means for online sellers?
Yeah, so the first principle is to remove 90% of all tariffs. It allows member states to keep 10% for what they call special industries. Now, that can cause problems because South Africa's special industries may be different than Morocco's special industries. But at the same time, the idea is great. And if you remove 90% of all tariffs, it does help. It means that there's less customs, at least in theory, there's less customs issues, etc. And you're not surprised if you're selling into Ghana with the Ghanese suddenly imposing a tariff and causing your product grief and sorrow. So the idea of removing tariffs is the first idea that's now happening. There were negotiations. The whole thing was supposed to start halfway through last year. It didn't because of COVID, but it has now started, as you mentioned, on the 1st of January. So that's the first phase, as it were, of the agreement. One important thing, however, is that however good it is to remove tariffs, it's non-tariff barriers, what they call non-tariff barriers, which are the main problem. Non-tariff barriers are discriminatory rules which keep your competitors out of a market. And they can be all sorts of things. Like, for example, South Africa has a few. One of them is that as a foreigner, as a foreign company coming into South Africa, selling in South Africa, you've got to register for VAT once you've got a turnover of 50,000 rand. Whereas obviously here, a South African company doesn't have to register for VAT until they have a turnover of a million rand. So that's a discrimination. It's a non-tariff barrier. It's an easy non-tariff barrier. So the next idea is to try and remove these non-tariff barriers. And it would take time. It would, the African Free Trade Area is, to coin a phrase, not going to be created in a day. Like Rome, it will take many centuries, many years.
The benefits will take a long time for us to really see the effect of it. But I suppose the question that's on the mind of a lot of people who are listening to this, and one that's echoed, I actually had an email from one of our premium students who's gone through our Your Online Store program, built their online store, Tabang, and I see that she's on this live call too, which is great. And the question from her was to say, you know, what with this new agreement, with this change that's coming in, like how can we as online sellers leverage it, perhaps as exporters, or do we get extra online sales? Like, what's the key benefit for people in e-commerce?
So e-commerce, I should also say that this is not just an African-wide thing. It's also regional. So we have these regional economic communities. South Africa is a member of SADC. East Africa has two, has the East African community and COMESA. West Africa has ECOWAS, etc. So there are, I think, eight altogether of these regional communities. They're also working hard to try to push the whole program forward. So maybe one of the best ways is to watch what SADC is doing in terms of removing tariffs between our immediate neighbors, Namibia, Botswana, etc. Because obviously it's much easier anyhow to reach those countries physically than it is to reach Morocco on the other side of the world. Look at what's going on at the regional level and how the regional level is trying to reduce barriers to trade, non-tariff barriers, and also infrastructural issues, like, for example, transport.
Yes, that's a big
because
one.
Because that is a really big one. Anyone trying to get through the South African land frontiers at the moment are going to have some problems. Getting back would be even worse. So these sorts of things need to be made much easier for people. In terms of e-commerce, it depends very much what you're selling. If you're selling something which is high level, you can afford to ship it by plane, by cargo. That makes it much easier to reach the rest of Africa. If you're shipping a very low cost item, then you really do have to depend on either trains or lorries, and that causes more problems. It's much more delayed. There are issues at the frontiers, as we know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So those issues at the frontiers need to be reduced. One of the things that we've been looking at in EFSA is how to use blockchain as a system to make sure that is done electronically rather than at the frontier. So at the moment, you have e-clearance systems. For example, if you use DHL, they use an e-clearance system, which is a very simple system. But it can be interrupted when it gets to the frontier. So if you have a proper tracking system going through, then you can see where the problem is and where unscrupulous customs operators may be trying to take extra money, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a way of verifying, as everyone knows. I mean, blockchain is basically a verification system. Make sure that what you are doing is being verified through different steps.
Great. And I suppose, like, as I'm looking at this, like, I'm trying to find the opportunities for us. And I know, like, with my previous website, Action Gear, we used to get customers' inquiries from all around Africa, from SADC, from our neighboring countries, and right up into East Africa, Central Africa, North Africa. And sometimes it became quite difficult to have that conversation with them about how we compete against the pricing of international companies, because somebody in Kenya, well, they could get it from South Africa, but it might actually be cheaper for them to get it from Europe or from America. The shipping costs maybe is one thing altogether, but also when we remove the tariffs for an inter-Africa sale, then that also helps to protect or give us a pricing advantage, because somebody in East Africa now can order from South Africa without having an import duty. Whereas if they were to then price compare us against European websites or American websites, then they've got to think about the fact that when their product arrives at their customs border, they are going to get an invoice for the customs duty and the VAT on top of that. So that is one of the opportunities, is just in terms of the pricing and being able to compete. And as you said in the beginning, I really like the analogy you gave of a cocoon of Africa. And it kind of, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of makes me feel like the United States of America, where they've got all their, is it 51 states or thereabouts? And they work as one. Instead of individual countries, they become one so that they can trade in between and uplift them all. And we, it seems, are moving in that same direction. Do you agree with that kind of sentiment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree entirely. And it's the United States of America, and it's also, of course, the European Union. Yes. Has done exactly the same thing. It's removed tariff barriers, and then it started to remove non-tariff barriers. The interesting thing with America, because I started looking at e-commerce in the 1990s, was that certain states had state taxes which were much lower than other states.
Yes.
So the likes of Amazon would go to, let's say, Alabama in Georgia, because the state tax was much lower than it was in Illinois, for example, where Chicago is, so that they could then ship out of Georgia. And that actually created an issue for the Americans. They never actually thought about that seriously, and they then had to start thinking about it and thinking how that could be sorted. Europe has a slightly different system. VAT is at the country of destination. Sorry, at the country of origin. And then the country of origin does a complicated bit of mathematics with the country of destination, which I won't go into. And then they come with a solution. What Africa is actually going to do, I'm not quite sure, but it's going to be one of those two systems. Either tax at the country of destination and not at the country of origin, or a mixture of the two. So we'll see how that works. As I said, negotiations are going on. They're ongoing. They're going to go on for a long time. And I think one of the other issues that we have to deal with, which is very important, is actually classification of products. Because what I may have here is a pen. It could also be a pencil. So how is it classified? And that comes to what they call customs nomenclature and things like that. So they've got to work through all that as well. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you a little story. Many years ago when I was young, I did an internship at the European Commission. And my job was to work in the customs union for 6 months, looking at aircraft parts. And they had a committee on aircraft parts. And all the, in those days, 9 countries of the European Commission used to turn up to meetings. And what they did was they say, well, let's take Boeing 707s. Who is making Boeing 707 wings? No one. Okay, well, we'll remove the tax from the Americans. They can import. Who are making toilet seats? This was a real case. And then the Dutch put up their hands and said, well, we can do that. So, okay, we'll put a tariff on the American imports of toilet seats to allow the Dutch to build their toilet seat industry. So you can see this stupid example is actually how the African free trade area should work between the African countries to make sure that they are really promoting each other's products and ensure that there's sort of what they call economies of scale or scalability is created.
And I suppose that in itself will lead to the massive growth in employment, which is so desperately needed in our country and right across Africa. But it also makes me think about another opportunity, which I've been thinking about with this new free trade agreement, is the opportunity which will only come about in years to come. But as the tariffs are removed, or that, let's say, the tariffs remain in place for international supplies coming into Africa, but they're removed within Africa, that means that there is opportunity, as you're saying, like for a toilet seat company to open up or industry to open up. But there are certain industries which we could easily do, but because of the cheap labor in the East, it's cheaper for us to get products in. One that jumps to mind is clothing. It's so cheap to get it from overseas, and the government is trying to try and encourage local manufacturing in South Africa by putting crazy tariffs. What are clothing tariffs? Are like 40, 45, I don't know, something, some massive amount. And the way I view those kind of customs tariffs is almost like a penalty, because the government wants you to be sourcing or manufacturing it locally. If we as online retailers or anybody is sourcing it from overseas, then we get penalized with a customs tariff of 40, 45%. Now, if the inter-Africa tariffs are removed, that means that arguably somebody in Uganda or Kenya could build up an industry creating clothing, shirts. And even if their cost of labor isn't as cheap as the East, they could still provide it to us in South Africa at a far cheaper rate, because that 40 or 45% tariff or penalty, as I like to say, look at it, that is removed. And this opportunity that I'm circling back to for us as retailers and online sellers and business in general is the fact that it gives us the opportunity to not only support African suppliers, which I just love that idea, but also for us to be able to get products at a cheaper rate. Because this piece, the shirt, if I got it from the East, would cost X plus 40%. And if I buy it locally from East Africa, perhaps, then the cost price might not be as cheap as from China, but the tariff wouldn't be there, which means that effectively, well, I actually do, I'm able to buy that item cheaper, which means I can sell it at a cheaper rate online at a retail price, or I could make more profit. And it ultimately just increases that ability for us to do better business right here in Africa, which I love. So do you see that being like a massive benefit also?
That's the kernel, the core of the whole thing is exactly that. And you raise a very interesting point too. One of our problems in Africa is that we're not particularly proud of being African in terms of the products that we make.
Okay, got you. Yeah.
Not in terms of who we are, but in terms of the products we make. So African produced things, even though they are usually of much higher quality than, let's say, Chinese, they get bad press. So somehow or another, also one of the major things that needs to be done is to look at made in Africa and pride in made in Africa, in all it means. You know, it's brand South Africa, but it's brand Africa.
Absolutely, and it reminds me of one of our actually very first students who enrolled into our program, built their e-commerce business, and now is crushing it online. It's one of our students named Ryan Emery. His website is called africamadeonly.co.za. And he only sources and sells African items. And the quality is amazing. I've actually got lots of his clothing and item from that website because I just love it. I love the concept of supporting local, buying local, and the roll-off impact of just creating more jobs. And, you know, one extra job that we create through e-commerce means that that person is put into a position where they can have an income and support their family. And I mean, the roll-on impact is just amazing. So, Alistair, as I'm conscious of your time and want to start wrapping this up, I do want to speak about challenges to this. I know you've spoken about logistics, and we all know that that's going to be a big challenge to overcome. What other challenges are there that might be challenging over the next few years and months and years?
Okay. Just before you go on to that, one good bit of news is there will be a special, what they call protocol, excuse the bureaucratic language, protocol on e-commerce. And they will start that this year. So they will actually specifically be looking at e-commerce and looking at the challenges that exist. So what we have been doing last year is to use the South African Institute of International Affairs to write articles with proposals in them and recommendations in them. And this is a sort of easy way to lobby, as it were, to make sure that the issues are actually being identified properly. We identified 11 issues, but the main one, apart from, well, where do we start really? Apart from the transport issue, the infrastructural issue, you've got some really difficult issues with currency and rebating money from one country to another, which is a very big problem. South Africa is better placed than many other countries, although it still has some problems. If you want to set up as a foreign company, not even as a foreign company. I'll give you an example that happened to me last year. We also run the Pan-African E-commerce Associational Forum. And my members' fees for that are in dollars. So we want to set up a dollar account in South Africa. We'd think it was pretty simple. It's not. We took a hell of a lot of time talking to different banks before eventually one of them said, oh, yes, it's actually very easy. We'll do it. And within a week, they'd done it. But all the other ones didn't know how to do it. Even though you went to the Forex departments, they were unaware of the system. So that is, for a small company, and after all, we're very small, that is a very big issue. That there's a lot more to be understood with remittances, of currency from one country to another.
And I hope that the payment gateways would jump on board with that and give us the ability to receive currencies and just change it into rands if that's the easiest way, or whatever's going to work best for us.
Yeah, and there's also a big question in some countries saying, well, why don't we use Bitcoin-type systems, cryptocurrencies, in order to get over the problem? Because it is a big problem. I mean, if we're selling from South Africa, our currency rate goes up and down. It doesn't go up and down to the extent, let's say, of Zimbabwe, where it goes through the roof every now and then. So how can you sell to a country like Zimbabwe? The only way you can do it is by having some sort of recognized and international or African solution. So
that is an interesting challenge to look at.
So there's that. There's obviously connectivity, and the digital divide is a big one. There are some countries who are doing fantastic stuff, like balloons to cover about one third of Kenya, and they sit right up in the stratosphere somewhere or another.
So
you've got that sort of solution.
I suppose there's a lot of challenges, not just within e-commerce, but in general through Africa. And we're going to have to see how that impacts this agreement. But I suppose just in kind of wrapping up, being conscious of your time, Alistair, also just wanted to ask, the free trade, the Africa Free Trade Area, the agreement has come into effect from the 1st of January this year. Does that mean that it's ready to go? Or what does that mean in terms of rollout? Like, when can we start selling to inter-Africa countries without having customs duties? Like, what is the rollout of this process?
Yeah, so this is a big issue, and we're closely in touch with the DTI on that to see what information we can get. What we're going to do, a couple of events over the year in order to keep people involved, and obviously working with you, Warwick, as well, to keep people involved and to tell them what's happening and where the actual advantages are, and how soon we can expect these things. It will take time, but it is starting, and that's the most important thing.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. You know, it opens up an entire new market. So the benefits for me are like the ability to sell more into our neighboring countries, and also to potentially be able to source our products at a lower rate, which is going to benefit us all over, not just in terms of our profit margins, but being able to reduce costs to our customers, but ultimately being able to support African suppliers. I just love that. And I can't wait to see this roll out and become available, and to see the updates from the e-commerce forum of South Africa. If you guys haven't been onto their website, check it out. There is a link beneath this video where you can go and read more, the article, that the blog post that that was published on their site, written by Alistair. And yeah, let's keep the updates coming into this community. You guys can follow obviously our page and our community, where any information that Alistair is giving to us, we will be sending it out. So Alistair, thank you so much for your time. Are there any closing thoughts, anything that we missed out, or anything that you want to mention just to call this conversation complete?
Just those two articles that I wrote for SIA, they're long, but if anyone wants to read them, that really gives a very broad and detailed story of how this thing is all working. They're not
And
for technical
that's
people.
linked up beneath this video.
Good. Thank you very much
Awesome.
indeed.
Great. Well, thank you,
And
Alistair. Yeah, we love hearing from you all the time, and we're looking forward to hearing about your future talks and updates, and what we hear about this, not only on the Africa Free Trade Agreement, but also on the e-commerce forum of Southern Africa, of which we are both board members. It is doing amazing things. Anybody who's selling online can join as a member, or just follow them for updates about e-commerce. They're doing wonderful things to help grow our industry, and it's led by Alistair, the CEO, and the other board members that are doing such great things for e-commerce in South Africa. So Alistair, thank you for everything that you're doing to help us online sellers, and for your time here today. I really appreciate it.
thank you very much indeed, Warwick.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaka.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.